And we're now live to the world from Murray Grace Fellowship. Welcome if you're joining us online. Welcome if you're watching this at home later on or listening later. It's good to have you with us. We have got a church full here. But they're not going to shout out and say hello because we don't shout out. Hello. Hallelujah. Good to see you. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. I'm really glad that we sang that last song there. I love singing about compassion because that's what we're teaching about at the moment, isn't it? Starting. Hey, thank you, Carol, for that one. Oh, Sean, for that one. New series last week. I started a new series. You know me and my series. This is a mini one. It could be mini. It could be more Volvo or Jaguar or something a bit bigger. I'm not sure how long it's going to last, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I said last week, I wanted us all to go on this journey together. So if you look on the website, as well as getting the video message and the audio message, you'll get an essay of the message, and you'll get skeleton notes and meditation points for everybody to be involved. So thanks for you that fed back last week. That was good. Your feedback was correct. You are in agreement with me. That's really what I'm looking for. Amen. No, good feedback and stuff for me to build on as well. So that's great. So let's pray before we sow some seeds. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that now it's time for us to gather around your word. Thank you that we have been able to come together as your church, the local church in this place, and bring our worship to you. Thank you that we've been able to come together to encourage one another, to edify, to exhort. But I thank you now that it's time for us to gather around your word. Time to plant some seeds. Thank you that your word is described as seed, as incorruptible seed. And thank you that we are now taking the chance to sow some seeds into the ground of our hearts. So thank you for those hearts that are going to receive the ground this morning. In accordance with scripture, I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds germinate, grow, and then produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this time of year. I'll be getting barley and stuff into my messages soon. Because if you look around, the fields are green. The barley is coming through. And it'll soon be growing, and it'll be seed in time, and it'll soon be harvest. So I'm sure we'll get some messages around about that. I always seem to get barley in somehow. So, we are talking about compassion, and we're not just talking about it. I want us to learn about it. I want us to get deeper revelations. Because we're not just learning about compassion together. I want us as a church and as individuals through this to gain understanding, to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, and to be more compassionate. I said last week we're all on the compassion scale. 0% compassion, 100% compassion. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty, the people in front of me and my conscious judgment depends where I am on the compassion scale at the moment. But I'm going to kind of, we're trying to work our way through that. Trying to be more compassionate. But the way to do it is to understand the scriptures and to renew our minds. So that's what we're going to do. I said last week, we will see that God is compassionate. We will see that Jesus is compassionate. And then we will see that after that, we are called to compassion. I'm going to work through those statements. God's compassionate, Jesus compassionate, we're called to compassion. We're going to work our way through that in that order in the coming weeks. And you'll see we're kind of working our way through the scripture as well. And we came up with the definition, didn't we? Yeah, you're all nodding. Go on then. Who can remember it? Without looking at their notes.
It was very long.
It was a very long definition, wasn't it?
Short. It was God loving people and having lots of action, and there was a need, and there was something else.
Almost perfect. Let's juggle that about a bit. It is a form of care and love. We'll see that, you'll see that today, but we'll see it in coming weeks. And it's aroused within a person when they see others suffering, or in peril, or in need, or in lack. And then this compassion leads the person to action. If there's no action, it's not compassion. practical action, practical application to fulfill the need of the person that they love and care for. That's it. It's a form of care or love that is aroused within a person when they see others suffering or in need. And then this compassion leads the person to action to fulfill the need of the person they love and care for. See, it starts with love and care, and it finishes with love and care. The definition of compassion, or my definition of compassion. So we're going to work through the word. We're going to see God's compassionate, Jesus compassionate. And I really am interested in your input. So let's start looking at compassion of God the Father. And let's go to a rather unusual story to look at that. Let's go to 1 Kings 3. And I'm going to read from 16 to 28. There came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it to her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No. But the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Poor Solomon. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and the son, thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. That's a man's solution, isn't it? Practical. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgments which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Wow, that is quite a story. Quite an account. And just as I was reading it there, there's some typology in that that was starting to come into my brain that I didn't see last week. So there's another message coming out of that. But anyway, quite a story. Two women have babies, one baby dies, she swaps them. So both women claim that the child is theirs. And Solomon has to sort this out. Solomon has to make a decision. A man of immense wisdom, it says. And you know what? I think he was really wise in this. Pretty devious as well. You know, that's quite a sort of judgment to come up with. Very, very clever. He says, yeah, we can sort this out. You know, just give a bit to each mum. That's an easy solution. Cut the baby in half and give each a piece. And then one woman, the fake mother, yeah, that's fine by me, just cut it up. Just, yeah, I don't care. But the other mother, the true mother, of course, wanted the child to live. So said, no, don't kill the child. Give the child to her. Why did she do this? Why would she lose her child to the other? She's lost her child forever. Why would she do that? Because she was moved with compassion. That's what the word says. 1 Kings 3, 6, 26. For her bowels yearned. Bowels yearned upon her son. She had so much love so much care for that child, she was moved to action. She was moved to save the life of the child at her loss. She wouldn't be able to see the child growing up. Wouldn't be able to spend time with the child. But she was so moved with love for that child that she'd rather lose it and see it live than let Solomon cut it in half. The Hebrew word for bowels there is racham. Now, I'm going to use three Hebrew words today. They're probably going to sound exactly the same to you, but believe me, they're different, okay? Look them up when you get home. Racham. And it means compassion. Listen to this. By extension, the womb, as cherishing the fetus. Oh. When I saw that, I thought, oh. There's a meaning loaded with significance, isn't it? There's a meaning loaded with implications. And I think this can help us to understand what compassion means. Yes, it talks of that feeling coming from deep within, within our core. And for a woman, that's the womb, the centre of life. So it's really strong, really deep feelings and emotions. But it implies something else, something so much more. It's talking about that deep bond of love between mother and child, between mother and fetus, before the child is born. Now I know we see and hear examples of unmotherly actions in the news and whatever. But if you were to say to someone, what's the deepest expression of love that you know about? Most people would say it's mother for child. There's that protection. Sorry, just as I was thinking that, I was thinking about my mum. Nunzi said my mum says my mum is like the mother lion. Don't get in the way of that mother lion. Not so much for our kids, but for our grandkids. Don't get in the way of that compassion. It's not exactly compassion, but don't get in the way of that love that mother lion has for the cubs. But well, okay, Vic, I get that. But what's that got to do with God the Father? Well, that Hebrew word racham is similar to the word rahum, comes from the same root meaning. And that was the word we looked at last week briefly, remember? So that was racham, this is rahum. Where God described himself as being compassionate. The first thing he called himself to Moses. Let's have a look at that again. That was in Exodus 34. And this is important. Exodus 34, 1-6. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew the two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up into Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. And the Lord descended in a cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. The Lord describing himself to Moses, proclaiming who he is, proclaiming his name, and proclaiming what he is. And the first word he uses is, in my Bible, merciful. But in your translation, it might be compassionate. And that's what the Hebrew word means. It means to be full of compassion and to be merciful. Rakum. God making himself known to Moses, in a sense, making himself known to the Jewish nation, to mankind, telling Moses, describing himself to Moses. And I think I mentioned last week, if this was me describing myself for the first time, I think I might have done something different if I just happened to be the Lord God Almighty. It would have been the Lord God, King of Kings, Creator of the universe, Master of everything, omnipotent, omnipresent, omni-whatever. That me, I would be describing my power, my might, my majesty, but not our God. I'm compassionate. Was the first thing he said to Moses, and that's important. And that really speaks to me. It should really speak to all of us in our relationship with him. When he's describing himself to Moses, a fellow human being, the first thing he says is, and I'm paraphrasing, Moses, I'm compassionate. And compassion is always to another person. So he's kind of saying, I'm compassionate to you and all of mankind. It just speaks to me. Awesome. Love or care for people in need and then being moved to act and meet that need. Remember, that's what compassion means. Hallelujah. And of course, we are that people now that he cares for, that he loves, and that he's got compassion for. Let's go back to the Hebrew for a wee bit. Both those words, rakam and rakum, come from the same root word, same primitive root. This is where it gets a little bit difficult. And that's the word racham. So there's racham, but this is racham. Okay? Believe. Listen carefully. The first one was racham. This is racham. Okay? Go on to your devices and look up Esword or Blue Letter Bible or whatever. Get the pronunciations there, because this is Hebrew and Doric. And it's probably, I am not a Hebrew scholar. But you can read it, they both come from the same root, racham. And this is great. Racham, the primitive root, means to fondle. Uh-huh. By implication, to love. Especially to be compassionate. There's a relationship thing here. I love that word, fondle. It's a hilarious word. But there's a relationship thing there, isn't there? By implication, to love. Especially to be compassionate. And here I think we're getting to the root meaning of compassion. It is to love. Here we're getting to the crux of the matter. The most important thing we can know, I think, about compassion. God was moved to compassion through love. His love for mankind. And the same is true for us. See, what I'm realizing, bottom line, don't get offended, okay? But I'm just going to say it like it is. The bottom line, and I'll use the we word and not you, okay? Bottom line is, if we're not compassionate, we don't love. Yeah. If you don't love people, you're not going to be compassionate. I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody so nobody feels left out. Saw a thing on Facebook yesterday. It says, if I've not offended you, don't worry, I'll get round to you next week. So I'm not having a go at us here. But the more I study the site, the more I meditate on it. The bottom line is, if we're not compassionate, we don't have love for that person in need that's in front of us. And I'm going to explore that later. Thankfully, the comments I've been getting back this week seem to agree with that, seem to agree with me on this. But it's going to be quite challenging. I've had this conversation with a couple of people. This is going to be challenging the next few weeks, especially if we are really honest with ourselves. And those of us that are honest with ourselves, and say, I lack compassion. Now, put some sections of society in front of me. I'm very compassionate. Orphans, widows, India, very compassionate. I'm not going to tell you the members of society that came in front of me, I've got no compassion. But I'm being honest here. And I do believe, for me, I'm getting back to it, it's a love issue, it's a care issue, it's a concern issue. So in my studies of the Old Testament, I see these words time and time again. I'm going to try and say them Rocham 47, Rakham 44, and Rahum 13. Lots of them in the Old Testament, too many of them for us to go through today. But turn to one of my favourite psalms. What's my favourite psalm? I told you at the start of the sermon. 103. Oh, is the mic falling down? No, there it is. It's okay. We'll cut that out, but can't cut this bit out, but you see me fondling with my thing. See, he's, I've got that word in the brain now. Is that okay? I think so. Hope so. Well, we've got this recording if it's not, so that's great. Where was I? Psalm 103. I thought you were looking at me funny. It's all right. It's okay. Psalm 103. I'm going to read 103 all the way through to 13. Because the great thing about this section, it's got those three words in it. I'm going to say them again because I can. Racham, Rach, Rakham, and Rakum. Sean will give me a wee lesson later. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses. Oh yeah, of course he did. His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can I get a hallelujah for that? Amen. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Awesome. This is a psalm talking about what we have under the new covenant. Yes. This is a psalm of promises of what we have now as new covenant church under grace. It's awesome. It's all about us. It's all about the local church. All about us. And Psalm 103 verse 4 talks about tender mercies. That's the word racham. Compassion as in cherishing the fetus. There's that mother love. He has that love of a mother has to a child towards us. Just let that soak in. Use the me word. He loves you like a mother loves the fetus. Awesome. Reminds me of Ephesians 1:5. We have been adopted into his family. Why? Because we are his children. And it's for his good pleasure. And he loves us and cares for us and wants to meet our needs as a mother meets the need of her child. Verse 8, merciful. That's the word rakum, full of compassion. Well, if he was compassionate, what was the need? What was his action? How did he act? Well, you read the next few verses, kind of shows you that. Talks about the sin issue. And he's dealt with it. We're not dealt with according to our sins, not rewarded as according to our iniquities. He has removed those transgressions from us. We were in such deep need because of the sin issue. We were in a hopeless state. We could not help ourselves. So in his love and in his care, in his compassion, he saw that need and he met our need through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now under grace, under the new covenant, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Mankind was in such need. But he had love and care as a mother for a child. He had that strong feeling from deep inside. And he met your need. He met our need through the finished work of Jesus. What a picture of compassion, all based on love, on his agape love. And then in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children. This word just does not cut it, in my opinion, in the translation. Now, you kind of think of a word pity, it's kind of feeling sorry for someone. No, this is the word rakam. And I love this verse because it's about compassion, but it talks about fathers. So us guys, dads, don't miss out. We're in on the picture too, because this is another picture. It's saying, as a father has compassion, that's the word compassion, as a father has compassion on his children, so God the Father has compassion on us, on those who hold him in awe and respect and reverence. It's not being feared. It's not being afraid. That's what that word means. Now this speaks to me in a big way, a really big way. But this is quite personal. I know for some people, you may not have the same feelings. It may be an issue for some people who have had a different upbringing and a different experience. But I can relate to this, because I had a dad who was far from perfect. I mean, I just think about it now. That man was far from perfect, but he loved me. And I knew that. And he cared for me. I mean, he almost worked himself into the ground for his family. And I have a real love and respect for that. So I know what he did out of his compassion for me. And I know what I did for my kids and my granddaughter, for Lydia. So I know that strength of feeling, that depth of feeling, that is what God has for me. Well, actually, not. It is so much more. But some people mightn't be able to relate to this, but I can relate to the love from a father and the love of a father. So that picture really speaks to me. But God's love is so much greater, so much deeper, so much higher, wider, however you want to describe it, than human love. It's awesome. Every need, every want, every lack we have, every area of peril and danger, he wants to meet that need. Somebody should be shouting, Vic, he has met that need. Hallelujah. Indeed, he has met that need. We already have everything through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through his love for us, through his compassions. Going to get them in. You already have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You have all you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Amen. So many other verses we could look at in the Psalms and the rest of the Old Testament. Did anybody add up how many rakums, rakams, rakums, rakains there were? 106. If you didn't do the maths. 106. I'm just going to look at one last one. Go to Isaiah 49. This is another picture for us of his love. I'm going to read Isaiah 49 from 8. Thus saith the Lord, 8 to 15. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth; to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and thy Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but will I not forget them? Another picture of God's compassion. Here we have the Jewish nation on the return, on the eve of returning from Babylon, anxious and in fear. And here is what the Lord is saying to them. You know, you may have forgotten me, but I've not forgotten you. I will have compassion for you. It says that in verse 13. And he describes his compassion as that of a mother suckling her child. Now, I've said it already. I know we see examples where a mother's love isn't always perfect, and we see and hear terrible things. But I'm sure you do agree that one of the best pictures of deep, unconditional love is a mother for her child. And the verse is saying, can a mother forget the son from her womb? Of course not. Can she stop being compassionate? Of course not. You may have forgotten me, but I haven't forgotten you. I have not stopped being compassionate. And that's the Lord. And we know it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, but Jesus is God, God is Jesus. The Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. No matter what you do, no matter what you've done, you know, I'm not condoning it, but even no matter what you're planning to do in the future, he has not forgotten you and he's not removed his compassion. That's not an excuse to go and do it. However, it, you know, when we do fall, when we do make mistakes, it's great to think, well, he's still, he hasn't forgotten me and he's still compassionate. Amen? And that's a picture of God's compassion for mankind. No matter how depraved they got. And just read your Bible. I mean, you don't need to get into the to get some horrible graphic books in Waterstones. You can read some pretty graphic stuff in here. Some depravity. You know, some depraved people in here. No matter how depraved people got, no matter how far they went away from him, no matter how much they forgot him, he never forgot them. He never forgets us. His compassion for them never ceased. His compassion for us never ceases. His plan always was Jesus. His plan always was the possibility for every man to have that sin issue fixed. All men were born with a need, a want, a lack. And the finished work of Jesus Christ meets that need. Why? Because he never stopped being compassionate. He never stopped caring. That is what he is. He is compassion. Rakam, remember, by implication to love, especially to be compassionate. Now that's a good 30, 35 minutes. I'm starting to get the shakes because I've not been in the New Covenant yet. You know, this is Vic preaching out the Old Testament. It's not usual. But there's a great picture. I'm going to cover this in much depth later. But there's a great picture of compassion in 1 John 4. But that's the love chapter, Vic. Surprise, surprise. The love chapter being about compassion. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, 7. And I'm going to read to 11. And I love this. Look and see how this little passage is composed. What does it start with? What does it finish with? And what's it got in the middle? Okay. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I will spend a lot of time on this when I'm talking about our compassion. If we are going to be compassionate one to another, we need to love one another. And this passage starts with loving one another, finishes with loving one another. And what's in the middle? God's compassion. Jesus' compassion. He is love. Not just that he loves, but he is love. If you could say it, he personifies love. You know, if we can say that about God. That is his overriding character. Love. That is why compassion was the first thing he told Moses. I am love. He could have said, Moses, I am love, so I am compassionate. No, he just went straight for the I'm compassionate. His overriding character is love. And his compassion is his outward expression of that deep love for us. A people in need. And what did he do to meet that need? What was manifest towards us? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. His compassion is his outward expression of his deep love for us. And that action was sending Jesus. That verse is there. That's compassion. God saw a need, moved to meet that need, and that moving was Jesus Christ. And we'll see starting from next week, Jesus is just an extension of that compassion. There was no change. God was compassionate, sent Jesus, so Jesus was compassionate. He loved us, saw our need, sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. Moved with love, because he is love, saw our need, met our need. The practical manifestation of his love. Sent Jesus to deal with the sin issue, made the way for salvation and righteousness, made the way to come into his family as children through reconciliation and forgiveness. That's compassion. God is compassion. And we'll see a lot more of that through the rest of the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.